Psalm 101. I will sing of your love and justice, Lord. I will praise you with songs. I will be careful to live a blameless life. When will you come to help me? I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. I will refuse to look at anything vile or vulgar. I hate all who deal crookedly. I will have nothing to do with them. I will reject perverse ideas and stay away from every evil. I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors. I will not endure conceit and pride. I will search for faithful people to be my companions.
Hallelujah. What an important night. We are believing God with you and for you. When we were praying back before service started, it came up in me to believe God for you parents, that you have a wisdom of God where your kids are concerned that is just unmatched by anything we can imagine. That you know what to do, what to say, when to check, what your children need for the rest of their life. You have an unqualified wisdom of God on the inside of you. And super kids, you have the power of God to walk and live your life out for the rest of your life. This is not something that is, you know, the things that we do here tonight and the things that you commit to and promise to each other tonight, these are not just, okay, there's an expiration date on this promise and it's over at the end of this year. It's over when I go to college. Right? These are things we're promising to be in this together forever. I'm telling you, Lieutenant Chris, Lieutenant Commander Kim, and I, and our families, we are with you for life. Yay. We are. You may always have any support that we have. And these things that we commit, these are for life. You know, the Lord doesn't just keep us for a season and then go, okay, well, I guess you're on your own now. And these things that we do tonight, these are forever. Amen? So this is just a big deal, because the things that you commit to, super kids, tonight are going to keep you for the rest of your life, and they're going to keep you right in the center of what God has for you. You are a generation like no other generation that has ever gone before. We all, parents and staff alike, we are so excited about you and about what you're going to do in your life and what the Lord's going to do in you. Amen? So it's a really, really exciting night. You know, I wanted to just talk to you a little bit about what we're about to do and about making a covenant. And talk to you a little bit about what a covenant is. And give you really just a chance to be on purpose about the pledges that you make and the communion that we take afterwards. I left home today, and as I was doing it, I asked Dr. Steve if he would look up the word covenant in the Noah Webster's dictionary for me. And that blessed me. That definition really, that was awesome. And so the word covenant, it's a mutual consent of agreement. And of course, you are making a covenant with each other, parents and kids. You are mutually consenting to those pledges that you say, right? There's nobody's being forced, or you didn't have to have your arm stuck behind your back and drug here. Nobody, right? Nobody? Good. That's good. That means you're making this covenant yourself. But listen to this. It said, as pertaining to theology, the promise of God to man that man's perfect obedience should entitle him to happiness. That man's perfect obedience to God, this is covenant, according to Webster's Dictionary. That's not the Webster's Dictionary from lately, but about 200 years old Webster's Dictionary says that it is the promise of God to a super kid. It didn't actually say super kid. To a super kid, that your perfect obedience should entitle you to happiness. Now, you know that word entitle? That means it belongs to you. And it means that there's, when you're entitled to something, often there's a piece of paper to back it up. You have a title deed. You know, we have a title deed to our house. That's our house. Nobody can come take it away from us. Our house. We have a title deed. We have some property. And that property has a title deed to it. It belongs to us. It doesn't belong to anybody else. And to be entitled means that no one can take that away from you. It belongs to you for sure, for sure. Your obedience, your perfect obedience to God, which, you know, that's what this is about, entitles you to happiness. Isn't that good? So the devil can never come and try to take that away. And actually, the Word says that over and over and over again, doesn't it? In Deuteronomy 28, it says that. It says, kids, Ephesians, if you obey your parents, you're entitled to a good, long, satisfying life. Right? So the Lord repeats that idea over and over again, and even says, when you obey your parents, because your parents are His agents. Your parents are His, God's physical presence in your life, in your house, to wrap their arms around you. That is God's presence in your life. And you need to see them that way and value them as agents of God. Y'all know what an agent is, right? Y'all know what a secret agent is. Somebody working on behalf of a government. And they go out and do things on behalf of that government. And that's what your parents are working on behalf of God in your home when they tell you things. So they are His representative to you. And when you obey them, you get the same reward as when you obey God. So it's a good deal all around. Amen? So when we make this covenant, it's a serious thing. It entitles you to a good life when you make covenant with the Lord and with your parents. Now the other thing that I wanted to mention about this, is when we take communion. You know, when we take communion, it seals things, doesn't it? That's super serious. That's like signing a covenant with blood, but it's not our blood, it's Jesus' blood that we seal this thing with. So there's some things that I want you to remember. As you say your pledges, I want you to remember, boy, as I say, Mom and Dad, I will obey you, I will live my life pure. Mom and Dad, as you say, I will be the agent of God to you. As you say these things to each other, I want you to remember that when we're done, we're going to seal it in the blood of Jesus. That's a big deal. You know, we're not supposed to take this cup unworthily. Let me tell you what that means. We don't take this lightly. And we don't say something and make a promise to the Lord and make a commitment to our parents and then take this, seal it with the blood of Jesus, and think, oh, that's no big deal. When you use this behind something, it's a big deal. Right? The blood and the body of Jesus. And so the three things that I want you to remember that you're committing with tonight, you, super kid, and you, parent, are in this 100%. You're not making any kind of half promise. You're not saying words, just reading them off a page and not letting them go. You know, we can read words and they go kind of through our mind and out our mouth and they don't really drop down on the inside. How many of you have ever read something and thought, you know, I need to go back and read that again? I have no idea. Anybody ever been, super kids, you ever been reading required reading for school and you read like a whole page and you think, I have no idea what I just read. What was happening? It was just kind of, it was almost even bypassing your brain. You're just going through the motion of reading words that weren't speaking to your heart. But when we read words and we let them go from our mind to our inside and out our mouth, when they come out of our mouth, they have power. If we just let them go through our mind, they don't really come out of our mouth with power. So on purpose, let the words go in your mind. Make a picture. You know, I could say the letters D, O, G, and you think, if you just think D, the letter D, the letter O, the letter G, that doesn't mean anything. But if when you read that word, you picture in your heart your dog or a dog that you're familiar with, it has a deeper meaning, right? So let them go in your mind down into your heart and then out of your mouth. Does that make sense? So that's what we're going to do. And I want you to remember that you're in this 100% with your whole heart. So with your heart, come out with the words. Both parents and super kids. Can you do that? Remember, you're gonna commit that you're in this with your whole heart. The other thing I want you to remember is you're in this with each other. Kids, you are not. I'm giving you an instruction. You are not to ever think this life is hard. Amen? Because if it ever feels that way, then you need to go to mom and dad. You need to go to your help, your agent of God in your life. Go to mom and dad. I don't ever want you to think it's hard. The only time this kind of walk feels hard is when you're trying to walk it out all by yourself and you're not sharing information with them and you're not telling them things that you need to enlighten them on and getting their wisdom on things. So you're committing that not only am I in this with my whole heart, but I am in this, mom and dad, with you. Mom and dad, you're not in this by yourself. Now you've got two covenant partners as well. If you're married, then you've got your spouse. You're not in this by yourself. If you're married, you are in this with your spouse. And you know what? If you're not married, then you're in it. The Lord will take that place with you. So even so, you're not by yourself. So you are in this as a team with your child. But on the other hand, you're in this with your child. You're making promises to them, and you know what? Sometimes it's going to be them that helps you keep your promise. Amen? So I just want to remind you, both sides, you're not in this by yourself. There is not, you know, God, we don't see God with our eyes, although we're coming to the day that we all are going to be able to see the manifestation of God more with our eyes. But you know what? We don't have to see Him with our eyes to believe. But in covenanting with each other and the Spirit of God in each other, then it's a physical presence in our lives that we can count on, just like the Lord. Because I can count on the Lord in my husband. I can count on the Lord in our children. And that goes both ways. Amen? So you're committing to that. I'm going to count on the Lord in my children. I'm going to count on the Lord in my parents. Amen? Okay, so you're in this with your whole heart. Not in this by yourself. You're in this with your parents, your spouse, your child. Now, the great one. We are all in this with Jesus, right? What does the word say in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do all things. All these things that you're going to read off tonight to each other, you can do those through the anointing, through the anointed one and his anointing that is on the inside of you. You can do it. Parents, you can do it. You can know all that you need to know. You should expect to be the best parent in the world because you are anointed on the inside with the power of Jesus and what He brings to you in the Holy Spirit to be the greatest parent. Super kid, you are anointed to walk this life out and to be the greatest kid on the face of the planet and grow up into the greatest adult who's ever been. Why? Because Jesus is in you. And not just, you know, Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in you. His Spirit on you to be able to do these things. You know, and that word anoint is to pour on, to smear all over, to rub it in. That is how saturated with the Spirit of God we are. We are not in this by ourselves. And I was, you know, the last time I received communion here at EMIC, something just struck me so heavily about communion, and I shared it with everybody, but I want to bring it back up. It struck me, you know, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, right? Do what? do communion with remembrance of me. He said that not just so we'd say, oh, Jesus, you're so sweet. We remember you and we thank you. That's not what he wanted. He didn't want just some kind of praise and accolade. What did he wanted us to remember that he was going to the cross so we could walk out what he had for us. He was going to the cross so we could defeat the enemy. And he wants us to remember, I believe that's why he said, take my body, take my blood, drink, eat. What does that mean? When you take a drink of something or when you eat of something, it becomes a part of you. It becomes nourishment to you. It goes down on the inside of you. When we drink this, it goes inside of us. And I think it's to help our noggins. It's to help our rememberer to say, Jesus, the Spirit of the living God, the one who can help me through whatever situation, he is in me. He is part of me. And he's here to help me. I am anointed to do what I'm called to do. Isn't that right? So all these things, we are in it with our whole heart as we make our pledges. We're in it together. And we are in it with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Amen? So in all these things, we are victorious and we never fail. Now I want to read a scripture to you and then we're going to get on to making our pledges and then we'll take communion. It says in 2 Peter, verse 3, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We've already been given it. We have received all of this by coming to know him. Don't you feel like you know the Lord better and know each other better after going through these? You know better really what the Lord has for you after going through pure life, don't you? We've received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises, which he actually sealed in his own blood. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature, to share in being just like him. These promises that he's made us and the blood he shed to bring them to pass, that enables us to be just like Jesus, right? And to escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all of this, make the effort. He's done his part. He's inside of us. He's constantly doing his part. All we have to do is make the effort. Parents, super kids, you make the effort to respond to God's promises. And this is the way you do it. Y'all super kids, y'all recognize these verses? Do you recognize this as the great eight? Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge. And knowledge with self-control. And self-control with patient endurance. And patient endurance with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love for everyone. This is what we've been doing for the last 3 months, is supplementing our faith with this. And then supplementing that with the next thing. We have gone from glory to glory, from precept to precept, until we have been put these things in our hearts with pure life. And so we've kept these things. Of course, it's not over. You keep putting these things in your heart, and you'll just grow stronger and stronger and stronger. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, we know that's not something we have to wait for heaven for. We can walk in his ways, in his kingdom, and in the blessing, the sweet life, right here and right now. And you get a grand entrance into that life that he's created for you. Isn't that great? So as you make these promises, this is what we're doing. And we're going to take this blood and this body of Jesus and seal it as done forever and ever and ever. Amen? And He's in us to help us walk it out. So let's pray. Father God, what a moment. I just thank You that the way You wrote the Ten Commandments on the tablets for the children of Israel, You are writing these words that we say tonight on the tablet of our heart. Lord, we right now make our hearts soft and tender to You and soft and tender to each other. And Lord, just emblazon these words on the inside of us as we speak them. And then Your power comes up in our spirit to walk it out. Say this with me. Say, Lord, as I say my pledge to my wonderful family, I mean each and every word. I will not be distracted or let my mind wander, but I commit to every word that comes out of my mouth. Lord, help me to not just let the words go through my mind, but in the name of Jesus, these words drive down deep in my heart. Right, and they are written and emblazoned on my heart. And then, with the power of the Holy Ghost behind them, they come out of my mouth. And I am changed forever. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Have you guys ever read Psalm 101? You ever heard of that one? Have you? I hope so, because that's what this whole thing is about. And in Psalm 101, David writes, he says, I will sing of mercy and justice to You, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will You come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Now, that's only four verses, but this thing goes on for another four. And almost 10 times, I believe it's 9 times in this Psalm 101, he says these two little words over and over. I will. I will. Will. What is Psalm 101? It is David making a promise. I will. I promise. I will. And if you really look at it, he's making one of those promises that maybe you've made before. The kind where you're saying it, you're promising it, but in the back of your mind going, there's no way I can do this. I just promised to keep my room clean for the rest of my life. How am I going to do that? But you're promising why? Because somebody said you could have a puppy or something if you did. Well, David is making this promise. I will. But listen to his promise. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. And I'm thinking as soon as he said that, he's probably thinking in his mind, what have I just said? Because I just made a promise and it's a promise of perfection. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Then he says, I will walk within my house with a, guess what? Perfect heart. Now again, this is one of those promises that in the back of your mind you're going, how on earth am I going to do this? But notice what he says in verse 2. I'll behave wisely in a perfect way. When will You come to me? The only way for you and I to walk and live and talk and act perfect is to know that we can't do it without the presence of God in our lives. And David knew the same thing. When will You come to me? And if you look at it, man, I believe that there's something very prophetic going on in here, knowing that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Our perfection is coming. The one who will enable us to be perfect, to live perfect, to talk perfect, to respond perfectly every time. He's coming. and he's come, and now he's available to us. He is how we live and walk in our house in a perfect way. But if you go through all this psalm, you look at all the promises he makes. There's several promises in here about the company that he keeps. Listen to me, young people. Your pure life has a lot to do with the company you keep. Your pure life has a lot to do with the people you hang around with. And David knows it, and you know it. And it's promise after promise after promise after promise. Now, if you're not careful, you'll just read verse 1 and then start reading all the promises. He says, I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. Then I'll behave wisely in a perfect way. But the Lord drew my attention back to verse 1. What does he say? Before any of the promises, before any promises of perfection, before any of the promises of who he will hang out with, who he won't hang out with, he says this, I will sing of mercy. I will sing of mercy. Parents, thank God for the promises that were made to you tonight and the promises that you made tonight. Man, we are, at this church and this particular body of believers, we have set something in front of us, and that is this. We will not fall to the standard of this world, but will rise to the standard of the Word. That is our life, that is our standard, and it's right in front of us, and we're going after it with everything we've got, and we know it requires sacrifice, we know it requires diligence, but the number one thing that it requires more than you setting that standard real high, more than you just setting the rules way up here, do it, set them up there, let's live a high life, but just above that, let's sing of the mercy of God, because the mercy of God will endure. Even when the rules are broken, even when you think the standard hasn't been met, the mercy of God will still be enduring because it endures how long? Forever. The mercy of God endures forever. What does that mean? You think about some building or some statue or some structure anywhere in the world. We have a concept in America of old. Oh, look, that thing's 100 years old. You go to Europe, you go to Africa, they'll tell you about old. See that building? That's 1,000 years old. You see that building? We don't even know when that showed up. That's how old it is. And yet it stands there today. Why do people marvel at that? Why do people get so excited about that? It's because when you think about all the wars that have been fought around it, all the storms that have raged all around it, century after century after century, and when the dust settles and it all clears, guess what? It's still there. Now you apply that to the mercy of God. You and I have thrown sin at it. We've thrown failure at it. We've thrown mistakes at it over and over and over. I mean, we lived whole lifetimes, some of us, before we ever came to know Jesus, and just throwing sin at the mercy of God every day. And when the dust settled, guess what? The mercy of God was still there. So young people, on those pledges that you read tonight, there's some big time promises on that. You made some pretty serious promises tonight. I would even say you made the Psalm 101 promise, I will live perfectly. But number one, I know I can't do it without the presence of God in me. I know I can't do it without the Spirit of God strengthening me. And number two, thank God for His mercy. Thank God that He's merciful. So even above the rules, even above everything else that's good and right, and I embrace it, but just above that is the mercy of God. And the mercy of my parents. Amen, parents? Being merciful to your young people, letting them know that there is an open door of mercy. That's why the throne room is open to us, isn't it? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That you may obtain grace, help, mercy in the time of need. So as you set these standards high, just a little bit above that, set the mercy of God. That is what communion is all about. This cup, this what it represents, the body and the blood of Jesus, it's mercy. Because the price that was paid so we don't have to. And I like to say it like this, mercy changed all the rules. Because the old rules before mercy came were, hey, you messed up, you pay the price. Then came mercy, changed all the rules, and it says, hey, you messed up, I'm going to pay the price. That's the new rule. And that's what this represents. Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. We're so full of your Spirit. so full of your power and so full of each other.
Yes.
Just give the Lord a moment to. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for what you've done in this place tonight. We give you glory and honor.
Yes.
And I thank you, Lord, that you are manifesting yourself to us.
Thank you.
Like we've never known before. To us as super kids, to us as believers, to us as parents. I thank you, Father, that we have more of a sense of you in our everyday doings and goings, Lord, than we have ever had before. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.